All right. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, Behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 52. He sent messengers before his face, Luke 9 and 52. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? He turned and rebuked them. He said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went to another village. 2 Peter chapter 3. That's all I'm going to read. Second Peter 3 and verse 10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So on. If you read this chapter once in a while, it does me good. So you caught on, eh? Well, if you didn't, wake up. I mean, it's sitting right there on the surface. What manner of love? The Father. What manner of man? The Son. What manner of spirit? And what manner of person to think? You know, I don't know when I put these together, but some time ago this year. Anyway, you know, I just came to my mind, you know what it does. And I put them down, and after I had it down, I started looking at it, and then I realized that we had the Trinity here. You know, you get a kick out of that when you discover something there you never noticed, didn't expect to see. Well, you know, Christian, you and I are deeply involved with the Divine Trinity. And we're going to talk more about it this afternoon. Your body is the holy shrine of the Divine Trinity. And that is really something. But let me start from the beginning, or I won't even get to the end. What manner of love? What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? Not the love that the world ever talks about. They don't understand this kind of love. This is a different kind. The Father hath bestowed upon us. I'm always saying, aren't I? When you read the Bible, notice what it says. It says, the Father hath bestowed upon us. The Father never falls in love with anybody. God never falls in love with anybody. God didn't have to love anybody. He didn't have to love you. He didn't have to love me. But he did. Why? You'll never know. The nearest thing you can come to is that God is love. But just because God is love, it doesn't mean to say he has to love everybody. Love is absolutely sovereign. It's something the world won't allow today. Love is sovereign. And the love of God is sovereign. And God has bestowed his love upon us. You sing sometimes, why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room? While thousands make the wretched choice, would rather starve than come. You'll never know. Never ever know why he bestowed such love upon you as to make you one of his own children. The sovereignty of the love of God. You know, if the world had even an inch of an idea what love is, it would revolutionize this world. God decided to love you and to love me. He decided to do it. And that's the sovereignty of the love of God. And when you don't love anybody, you decide to do it. You decide to do it. I see, in this regard, I want to say a difference between natural affection and love. There is a difference. Because one is of our own nature. You love your own children. That's a natural affection. They're the fruit of your own body. It's one of the signs of dangerous days, perilous times, fierce times. That same word is used once other in the New Testament, translated fierce. Perilous times. What is it? Men shall be lovers of their own selves without natural affection. And if there's no natural affection, it's because people have dedicated their souls to love themselves. And that's one of the most damnable things that you can ever do. I said somewhere, I don't know where it was, but I just noticed the other day again, the December issue of Prevention Magazine, 1983. December 1983, I just picked it up on the dentist office and turned, I said, just look at the front page, you know. The 10 best things you can do. Hold on. The 10 best ways to happiness. Yeah, 10 best ways to happiness. And number one, I turned over the page to see what it was all about, you know. Number one. I just read number one, I threw it out. Love yourself. Number one. Why so many cheers in the world? Because people are loving themselves. Man made in the image of God was made to function the way his God functions. And God is love. And the Father has bestowed his love upon you. And because he has, you have the ability to bestow his love through you on others. Love as brethren. Love as brethren. Love your brethren. And love seeks, doesn't do any ill to his neighbor. And love hides a multitude of sins. And love puts his brother first. And you know, you see it once in a while, and it's just great. It's just a little encouragement. But Christian, that's what you and I were saved for. You and I were saved for. The thing we rave about most is the love of God, and He bestowed it upon us in order that we might bestow it on others, pass it on. But He's made us His children, and that's a wonderful thing. What kind of a man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey Him. Luke says, the winds and the waters obey Him. You know, Christian, the winds and the water have always obeyed Him. They always have, and they always will. I like Nahum 1 and 3. I quoted it recently, been quoting it recently, since the big wind down there in Barry and Grand Valley and those places. Nahum 1 and 3. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. The Lord always has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are always the dust of His feet. Here's the one who has the clouds as the dust of His feet. Here's the one in the midst of the whirlwind himself. You know, this is different. He wasn't always, you know, I mean, physical, you know. Sure, God has been looking over His people. And His people have found themselves in a whirlwind many a time. In the tornado. How do they go around and live in the weather we're going? They're losing all sense of direction. And God was in it. And He was having His way in it. He always has His way in the whirlwind. But you know something? It was all together different. When God, who always had the clouds as the dust at His feet, when He found Himself in the middle of the whirlwind, when He found Himself in the middle of the storm, when He found Himself, the clouds enveloping Him, that was different. What kind of a man is this? Christian, this is a man that you and I have to keep our eyes on. Keep your eye on the man who always has passed through what you've passed through. He knows what sore temptations are. He endured the same. But you know, for His own glory, He was asleep. He was asleep in the storm. The one that always has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and He was asleep in the storm? Yes, He was asleep in the storm. Imagine that. And when He was at His height, too, he was asleep. And of course the disciples were perplexed. He doesn't even care. Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. And you know, this kind of man, when he's in the midst of the storm, in the whirlwind, and the boat is full of waves, I mean, the boat's full of water, he's still in absolute control of the whole situation. My brother and sister, God help us not to forget. God. You know, from day to day, we find our brethren, sisters, in the midst of some terrible whirlwind, storm. And they can easily get the idea, and we can easily get the idea, that the Lord is asleep and He doesn't care. I want you to know He cares. And I want you to know He's not as asleep as you think He is. For He still has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are still the dust of His feet. And He's over there with Him. And you know, all my life, a lot of things I've been singing all my life because my father and mother loved to sing. And there were some favorites of theirs. And they used to love to sing, "No one can wallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey his peace. You know, Christian, when the Lord stood up and rebuked the winds and the waves and they obeyed him, they marveled, what kind of a man is this? He's the kind of man they needed to be with them. And he was with them. And he is with you. Just as much, just as real, just as interested, just as caring, and he's really not as asleep as you may think he is. All of these people, and he dipped away in the wind, and there was a gray calm. Christian, we've got to have the storm and the whirlwind and the clouds so we finish this little journey. We really do. But you know something? There's going to be a gray calm someday, and nobody ever is going to destroy that calm. There'll never be a storm again. Never again. What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the seas. Here's the same dear one. You know, this is all the same people, eh? This is all the same people involved in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know, they're feeling pretty good. Oh man, there was no storm this day. They were in control. And these people are nervous. Lord, we ought to burn them up. Just let's burn them up. You ever feel like that? You do? Well, I have. I'm telling you, I really have. Sometimes, you know, I just feel like I could burn some people up. Oh, not really. Well, I don't know. If it isn't, it's awfully like it. I don't know how you tell the difference. For, I'm telling you, Christian, you might as well be a disciple here that, and the Lord wants to bless them, he puts them in here, and they wouldn't even have it, they wouldn't have endured it. They wouldn't have seen them. No, but he was still in control. He was still in control. He was heading for Jerusalem. He didn't want to stop there, didn't he? But of course, the disciples didn't understand. How often do you understand? Come on. How often do you understand when the Lord decides to do something? And things don't go the way they're supposed to go, the way they should go, the way they normally go. You know, the people usually, some usually receive them, but nobody has anything to do with it. Man, there, I tell you, their tempers heated up that day. Their tempers really heated up. And all they could think of was burning up the whole lot of them, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like Elijah did. Call on fire from heaven. Burn them all up. Yeah, he did too. But Christian, Elijah was God's man of the hour. Of that hour. But you're God's men and women of this hour. And this isn't the time to call down fire from heaven. And he had to scold them. You don't realize what kind of spirit you are of. You don't realize what kind of spirit you are. Not that kind of spirit. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives. He didn't come here to burn people up. He's going to one day. But this isn't it. Christian, this isn't it. This isn't the time to burn people up and get rid of them. What kind of spirit is that? It's the spirit of the Christ whom you and I serve. Whose we are and whom we serve. That's the kind of spirit. He didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save men's lives. And that is why, Christian, we can have a little mercy on this poor, suffering world. I've said it before, you know, I'll tell you, I'm right up to here with all the begging literature that I get in my door. Crying for money, oh, we've got to have it, the bottom falling through, all falling out. You know, everything's going to be destroyed. If you don't send us some money, well, I don't send those things. But, you know, the odd ones come knocking on my door. What's that? I can't. Okay. But then the blind. Okay, okay. Sure. Sure, I'll help you. And then I say, oh, I wonder what percentage the poor blind are going to get after all. Listen, Christian, never mind about what percentage the blind are going to get after all. You pray, give it to them for that purpose. God will hold them responsible. But let's have a little mercy on a poor, suffering world. Right? A little mercy. We're not here to destroy men's lives. We're here to save men's lives. And some of your brothers and sisters are way over there where they're dying by the thousands, doing their best to help just a little wee bit. God bless them, every one of them. You and I have got to hear, sitting here roast. Boy, oh boy. Did you get the supper last night? No, you weren't the one. Pretty small supper here last night. Well, I heard somebody say it was the best, always the best meal in the conference. I said that before we ever got it. Sure. I sure love old casseroles all lined up, you know. Oh, shit. You know what we're like? We're just like kittens drowning in cream. We're full right up. And then you get cranky. The Lord have mercy on you. Yeah. All right. Christian, all these things are going to be destroyed. Everything's going to be burned up someday. Oh, yes, it is. It's all going to be burned up. All your nice cars, mine too. My nice gold cars, all gone up. It's going to rot, disintegrate. All your nice cottages. Sure, we had it right here at the lake there just all this week. Really enjoyed it. That's what we did. Everything you set your heart on, Christian, is going to be burned up. What kind of people ought we to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, that's what the word's written for today. We got gifts, more than we need. We got more gifts. We do. There's 12 preachers here. I'll give you the rest of you. There's 12 preachers here. We've got gifts. All you need. You know, it may not be all the right size, but we've got lots of gifts. We need more godliness. And I'd be willing to sacrifice some of the gifts for a little more godliness if it's possible. Christians, godliness is not a gift. And gifts is available to and to you. As it is for any of you Christian preachers, anybody else that's preaching, they're all different somehow. I hope you accept in progress. Why? Because of that manner of that heart. And because of that kind of man that you and I belong to. And that spirit that dwells within us. And the end of all things. Action! All action! God help for you.